Hello?
Hey.
Thank you, Lord, for waking everybody up before the sermon. Wow. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Good morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the love you have for each one of us. Lord, we pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your word today. We pray, Lord, that it will be delivered with your words, Lord. This morning we're in Matthew 3:13-15. It talks about the baptism of Jesus Christ. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In 586 BC, approximately 600 years before Jesus, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jewish people were taken into captivity, which meant they couldn't offer sacrifices. They had no place to do it. It was prescribed in the Bible, of course, where and how the sacrifices were to be offered. And, of course, every sacrifice points to Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Well, because of this, the Jewish rabbis, the religious leaders, they reasoned among themselves that the sacrifices weren't really very important after all. What was really important, they decided, was prayer, the law, and good works. Even after they were reinstated to the land, after they returned from their captivity, another temple was built. Even then, this belief prevailed, and it continues even today. So it was the attitude during the times of Jesus and John the Baptist. We see this attitude in their dealings with them. Jesus had a lot of problems with the Pharisees, and so did John the Baptist. Not all of them. Usually, if you read it, it says some of them. The Jordan River. We see this all throughout the Bible. It was a place of crossing. It was an entrance. Where Jesus was baptized, it was a place called Bethabara, which means house of passage. We see this in John 1:28. It tells us where it was exactly. There are several places where John the Baptist baptized. But here specifically was when Jesus was baptized. Bethabara. When Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, that's where they crossed. Verses 7 through 9. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Which stones was he talking about? He was talking about the stones that were set as a memorial in Joshua's day in the river. Is God able to, he's able to do anything he wants to with stones, isn't he? He can soften our stony hearts too, can't he? The Jordan River was a place of cleansing, a place of repentance. Verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Jordan River was a place of healing. In 1 Kings chapter 5, we read about a man named Naaman. He was a captain of the Syrian army. He had leprosy. And he heard from his Jewish handmaiden about Elisha. So he came to Elisha to be healed. Elisha said, go dip in the river 7 times. He didn't want to do it. He said the rivers in Syria are better than the river Jordan. But yet, he was talked into it by his servants. You know, I often wonder, you know, I tend to think that there wasn't any sign of healing until after the 7th time. I think probably that he didn't notice anything, but he stayed with it and he did it 7 times. As he was told. The Jordan River was a place of obedience. In Joshua's time, they were told, step into the river. Step into the water. It was overflowing its banks. It was at a flood stage. And yet the water, as soon as they stepped into it, the water parted. Place of obedience. Dip 7 times, Naaman was told. The Jordan River was a place of commitment. God had said, you surely will possess the land. They were committed to it. They were committed to following the Lord. They had seen what their parents had done, and they'd seen, they knew about the 40 years in the wilderness that it took for an 11-day journey. The Jordan River was a place of change, a place of endings and beginnings. John the Baptist was, his father was a priest. And I've always believed that John the Baptist was probably the rightful high priest of Israel. Caiaphas and Annas, whoever was priest of that year, it's supposed to be a lifetime appointment, by the way, by God, but they switched off. They were appointed by the Romans. But John the Baptist, like I said, I believe he was the rightful high priest of Israel. 2,000 years ago, 2 priests met in that river, and the priesthood was forever changed. It changed hands from the priesthood of the old covenant to the priesthood of the new covenant. In that river, John bears witness of Jesus' ministry and declares it greater than his own. Verse 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee. I wrote in my Bible after that, wow. Then came Jesus from Galilee. Why is that significant? Galilee, in the Hebrew, is Galila. It means a folding or a turning door. Jesus said he was the door, didn't he, in John? It's a valve. It's an opening. It's a ring or a circle. In Greek, Galilee means a circle. Where does the circle start and where does the circle end? Does that remind you of anybody? Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever there thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So you see, when it says he came from Galilee, it also means he came from everlasting. Why was Jesus baptized? You ever wonder about that? As an example? You know, there's a lot of suggested reasons. And as it usually does, these reasons range anywhere from the absurd to the more believable. His mother told him to do it. He didn't want to. But you have to do this. Like I said, from the absurd. Or some people say it never happened. Well, the Bible says it does. Or maybe there was collusion between Jesus and John the Baptist. Or maybe because of his sinfulness. To separate himself from the sins of Israel. Yeah, that's a little more believable. To honor John the Baptist's ministry. To consecrate himself for the work before him. Or he was taking our place. He was representing a guilty people. I believe that's probably the best of the ones that were mentioned. But there's another reason. Why was Jesus baptized? I think the truest answer is really quite simple. What did he say? Verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So that all righteousness would be fulfilled. What did he mean by that? In Matthew 21, 23 through 27, Jesus was asked by the scribes and Pharisees, by what authority do you do the things you do? And Jesus, which was customary at that time, answered a question with a question. He said, I also will ask you a question. Was John's baptism of God or of man? That would probably be what we would call a loaded question. No matter how they answered, they were in trouble. If they validated John's ministry, then they couldn't say that, could they? But yet there's a lot of people listening. If they said that it wasn't from God, then he'd have some angry people. Or they'd have some angry people that they had to deal with. So they're in trouble no matter what they answered. So what they say, they said, we can't tell you. We can't tell. And Jesus said, neither will I tell you. So why was he baptized? Jesus knew John's baptism was from God. So his reason for being baptized, and this is according to Alfred Edersheim, and I agree with it, was simple obedience to God. Simple obedience to the Father and His will. Is that reason enough to do something? He always did the Father's will. The Jordan. In Hebrew, the Jordan is called Yardan. It comes from the Hebrew word Yarad. It means to go down, to descend. All rivers descend. If they didn't, they wouldn't run, right? But none of the rivers, no rivers descend like the Jordan does. It starts way up on Mount Hermon. It flows down through Galilee, through the Jordan Valley, to the wilderness of Judea, and finally to the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth. Jonathan Kahn says that in its descent, it gives life to the promised land. So through a descent, life is given. Does that remind you of anybody? He came down to our level because we couldn't go up to Him. How do we get into heaven? Now, if you were to ask the Pharisees and the scribes, what would they say? In fact, most people today would say you get into heaven by doing good deeds. You get into heaven by works. But that's an earth-to-heaven solution. The only real solution has to be from heaven to earth. God has to come down here. We can't go up there. So He had to descend. John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That last part always interests me, but I won't get into that right now. And I have a quote here, and I tried to find out who said it. I went back and looked all through the books I was studying, and I couldn't find it, but it's a quote, so I guess it's anonymous. The nature of love is to descend that it might give of itself, and that we, in its descent, might find life. Jesus came down to seek and to save that which is lost, to give life to those that are dying or spiritually dead. Is John a type of us? John the Baptist? Maybe in our coming to salvation? I'm going to compare him to one of the others, the thief that was crucified alongside Jesus. There was two of them, obviously. But one of them in particular. They were both, at the beginning, they were both giving Jesus a bad time. You know, climb down off that cross and save yourself and save us. But something happened along the way, and as things progressed on that day, you know, maybe he saw the way Jesus forgave his enemies. Maybe he saw with the dignity that he suffered what he was suffering. But something happened and something clicked and he came to a realization. He recognized what he was. And he recognized what Jesus was. He said to the other thief, "Don't you even fear God, seeing we're under the same judgment? This man's done nothing wrong. He doesn't deserve to be here, but we do." Then he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Doesn't seem like having to do very much to get into heaven, does it? I think it's kind of designed that way. Even a child can receive it. Even a child can understand it. As I said, he recognized what he was, a sinner. He recognized what Jesus was, sinless. He believed in an afterlife. He believed that it consisted of a kingdom that was ruled by Jesus. John was actually very similar. He recognized what he was. Verse 14, John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. I'm a sinful man. How can I baptize the Son of God? He knew who he was. As righteous as he was, he still knew that he needed something else. And he knew who Jesus was. In John 1:29, he said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He believed that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And he believed that Jesus was its ruler. What about you? Do you know you're a sinner? You can answer that out loud if you want. Yes. Do you believe Jesus was sinless? Yes. Do you believe he took our place on a cross 2,000 years ago? Yes. Do you believe he paid the penalty for your sin? Yes. Do you believe there's an afterlife? Yes. There has to be. Do you believe it consists of two places? Two places, two locations. Someone on Facebook said it isn't about an afterlife. It's location, location, location. You know, where are you going to be? That's what's important. Of course, you have to believe in the afterlife before you believe in that, don't you? If you were to die now, do you know where you would spend eternity? Do the things you have done that break God's heart break your heart too? That's called repentance. John and Jesus both said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was actually the first message Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's really that simple, isn't it? Bow your heads, please. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I haven't lived for you. I know that you died for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Change my life. And help me live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, touch your people. Lord, there's so much going on in this world. Just help us, Lord, to cling to you, to hang on to you. You are that anchor for our soul.
presence here. Be with us today. Guide us. Direct us into your ways, Lord. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Remember, church tonight is 6 o'clock. Also, the 2,000 Mules is going to be at 2 o'clock at the Communion Center, Community Center, not Communion Center. Might be similar. Might be the same thing. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see you there.